good morning. Welcome back to Talk Louisiana. Jim Engster's off today. I'm Stephanie Regal in the studio with Ali Balthazar producing. And joining us for the first half hour is Michael Olivier, CEO of the Committee of 100 for Economic Development. That's the state's business roundtable group. And Mike has headed the organization since 2009. But some of you may remember him as LED Secretary, Secretary of Economic Development, under Governor Kathleen Blanco. And for years before that, Mike was an economic development professional in Mississippi and Lafayette. So he is one of the foremost experts on economic development and what is wrong with Louisiana and why. You've been doing this for a long time. Come on, Mike.
And the state we're in.
What's going on?
Well, good morning. Good morning to your listeners as well. Louisiana is a great place, but we keep getting in our own way.
And that's a good way of putting it. So tell us, just remind everybody a little bit about what C100 is focused on, and fiscal reform is really a major issue with y'all.
Committee 100 was formed in 1992. It was originally formed as a roundtable of business executives throughout the state who are predisposed to want to do something important to impact business conditions that are the public policy issues affecting business and industry. And so their rules are that you are invited to become engaged, and you have to be the senior executive with your company. It doesn't have to be a Louisiana-based company. Frankly, we have lots of companies that are based elsewhere. For instance, our current chairman is Sonia Perez, who's the president of AT&T Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Many people know us similarly to the National Business Roundtable, which is headquartered in Washington, which is comprised of hundreds of CEOs of companies like AT&T, ExxonMobil, et cetera. And they are more focused on a path that deals with workforce and affecting public policies on the national level that impact business and industry. We, too, pretty much follow the same path where workforce is a big thing for us. Tax reform, fiscal reform is a big thing for us because that is the meat of the matter as it relates to business and industry.
297-5633 if you would like to visit with Mike Olivier, or 877-217-5757 outside of the Baton Rouge area. And Mike, okay, so you talk about fiscal reform, and this is something that is so important. We kind of thought maybe something would happen in 2016, then we thought maybe it might happen in the 2017 legislative session. Any idea if we'll see anything in 2018?
Well, no deal was reached on comprehensive tax reform during the last session, despite a path set forth by the HCR 11 Task Force, which, you know, HCR 11 Task Force was by the legislature commended to, let's study what we should do, give us a path, give us the options. And what they did was they formed a 13-member panel of some awesome people who are quite capable of being able to give us direction, many of whom were from the private sector. They took the work that we had done through the Tax Foundation in Washington, D.C. in 2014, and much of what was presented as options for our legislators to consider in a menu, giving them at least three or four different options on things like tax reform relative to sales tax, tax reform relative to property taxes, reform relative to personal income taxes, corporate income taxes. So those are the four areas that the study focused on. And then the HCR 11 Task Force took those and considered those in addition to a number of other things, including the fiscal situation that we're in Louisiana. So the task force was to restructure the tax code and address the fiscal cliff of what has been $1 billion plus for the last 3 years. And we're facing these temporary taxes that are due to expire in July. Instead, the legislature didn't do anything.
I mean, do you think it's because people are so anti-tax? They either zone out, like what you said has already gone over their heads, because they're just not focused on it, they're not educated enough, or they just hear tax and they say no, like some of the grassroots organizations that have spent a whole lot of money telling people to vote against anything that has the word tax in it.
Yes, exactly. And unfortunately, just say no has become the mantra. And you can see last year when we had six constitutional amendments that were offered to the voting public, all had been certainly educated propositions made by our legislature, or they wouldn't have been there, and all were voted down. And that scares me, that our people are just going to vote no rather than delving into the issue to determine what's good. The same thing we have coming up with Amendment Number 1, Constitutional Amendment Number 1 on the October 14th ballot. I'm afraid people are going to just vote no when they need to understand this is going to affect them personally when they build a house. And it's not only industry and commercial development that's going to be impacted, but it's also individuals that can be impacted.
How can C-100 be more relevant? I mean, is it maybe a messaging issue? Can y'all use some of your money to try to combat some of the ads that, for instance, made everybody vote no to the tax increases? The gasoline tax is a perfect example. I mean, even though that's not fiscal reform, that was something the state needed so bad, business needed. I mean, that's affected all of us.
That is a good example. It's not fiscal reform, certainly, but it's a measure that needed to be passed because, you know, we can't just be anti-raising taxes. We need to do some things in the state, such as money for infrastructure, and that goes beyond roadways. And so just to say no is not the way to go. We've got a lot of issues on the federal level that impact us. We have issues certainly locally and statewide that affect us. And it's going to take more than just saying, let's raise money. I agree. Let's raise taxes. I agree. We need to have a better fiscal policy. And so Louisiana needs a tax structure that mitigates the volatility of the economy because we're so dependent on oil and gas revenues. Corporate revenues are not very solid to depend on because it depends on what's happening within the global economy as well as the state economy. We need to have revenues that grow with our economy. Right now, we don't have that. We're diversifying as a state economy, and the tax system needs to reflect this new environment, something that the current tax code does not do.
Yeah. You mentioned at the federal level, and certainly there's been a lot of talk about fiscal reform, tax reform at the federal level. I know the business community is pushing for this. Conservatives are pushing for this. Doesn't that give us in Louisiana an excuse to just kick the can down the road and not take some of the maybe hard steps that we need to really implement tax reform?
Yes, unfortunately, that's what we're afraid of. We've found ways to distract ourselves and kick the can down the road, as you say. This federal intention of tax reform may be another way to kick the can down the road. We just can't afford it any longer. Our system, our fiscal system, faces a very long-term structural deficit of over $1 billion a year. Any changes to the tax codes needs to address this as a reality so that we don't have to have long-term temporary short-term temporary fixes as we've done in the past, particularly with this recent fifth penny, as they call it, to have the highest tax rate in the country when you combine it with the locals. So we need to fix things across the board. It's a comprehensive fix that needs to be considered. And it needs to be dealing with the sales tax, dealing with the income tax, both personal and corporate, in addition to the property tax and the method of collection. If we do not have a very structured sales tax collection methodology in place, which right now it's all across the board, we won't be ready to benefit when you have the Internet sales tax, as people call it, come into play. You know, Congress is bound to inevitably pass transactions of online sales, and we're not prepared to be able to receive those revenues. And it could be as much as, $300 million in the first year.
So many important issues. We have a caller, Phil, in Jefferson Terrace, is on the line. Good morning, Phil. You're on with Mike Olivier.
Good morning. Thanks for getting serious, trying for our poor, state to get serious about this. I know Julie Stokes had a lot of really good ideas, and I'm really disappointed that she's dealing. Let's keep her in our thoughts.
But Julie is a champion. You are absolutely right. She helped us and went all across the state and did so many good things. I wish she could have run for state treasurer. Unfortunately, because of her cancer issue, she had to withdraw. She's a champion legislator, I'll tell you that.
And my question to you, isn't the gas tax, wouldn't that be a progressive tax? Like the more the more people or companies that use it, and especially trucking companies, the industries that use our interstate and where the streets and the roads out, they would be paying more of that to go back to keep those, you know, to build those roads and bridges and keep that repaired.
That's exactly right. In fact, that's why the Trucking Association did not oppose it. They realize that they have to have the infrastructure so that they can be successful.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Phil. And, Mike, we're going to take a break in a minute. But when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about how we do it in Louisiana and how that's different from what Texas and Mississippi do, for instance. And also, I understand that C-100 and you and some of the other business leaders met yesterday with Governor John Bel Edwards as part of his regular roundtable group. So you can fill us in and tell us what the governor had to say. We'll be back. Welcome back to Talk Louisiana. I'm Stephanie Regal, sitting in today for Jim Engster, and we're visiting with Mike Olivier, CEO of the Committee of 100 for Economic Development, 297-5633. If you have a question for Mike, or toll-free 1-877-217-5757. And David on O'Neill is on the line. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Stephanie and Michael. I would just like to point out that you know, the GOP folks here in Louisiana have been very reluctant to the idea of a constitutional convention to address everything because they're afraid of what might happen. Could you comment on that?
Good point.
I think it is a good point. I think everyone is a bit afraid of opening Pandora's box. Even if you had a constitutional convention, the realities of that are it would take probably 3 years to get to one and another year and a half or two to have one. We can't wait. We need to start resolving these issues now. Louisiana's fiscal system desperately needs administrative improvement. We need to fix the long-term structural deficit that we keep facing. We need to change the tax code so we can be more competitive.
So, Mike, we had, you know, talked about this a few minutes ago. I mean, how do you do that? How do you make people understand? Is it a messaging issue? Because, I mean, I think a lot of the policymakers and decision makers understand, and then there are those that are just philosophically, diametrically opposed to it. I don't know what you do to convince them. But, I mean, how do you get the general public to understand what the issue is and to exert pressure, perhaps, on their elected representatives?
It is a complex issue. That's the problem. There's so many parts to it, and there's so many things that are legislatively or by statute can be changed, but then there are so many things that have to be changed by Constitution. Already we've experienced a bad situation last year with people voting against the constitutional changes that were recommended because they were just unaware.
Mm-hmm.
If we have changes that will occur dealing with sales tax, dealing with property tax, personal income tax, corporate income tax, they have to be voted upon by the voting populace. And that means that we have to make sure that they are somehow well informed of it. And we need to write the what's written on the ballot. People need to be able to understand it. That's the other part. So it's going to take more than any money that the Committee of 100 has. It's going to take a lot of different groups working together. And that's the thing we can do. We can get all of these good government groups, and let's go to the Rotary Clubs. Let's go to the groups that can make a difference and touch the people and educate them so they understand. And we need to take this piece by piece, perhaps. It can't be one grand scheme, comprehensive, as we've talked about, but we need to start somewhere, and we want to start with at least the tax code.
Jennifer in Lafayette is on the phone. Good morning, Jennifer. You're on the line with Mike Olivier.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Stephanie. Mike, I have a question for you about education. I work on the board of a nonprofit in Nigeria, and what we notice is the wealthier people in the country send their children to be educated here, and they stay here. And I noticed something similar in Louisiana, present company excluded, but some of our best and brightest leave both to go to college, and then once they've got a college degree, they tend to stay gone. And I wonder if there's anything that we can do here in Louisiana to combat that. If it's, you know, is it about making more economic opportunities? Is it about improving higher education? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks so much.
Well, it's a good question, and it is about improving education, and that's one of the things that we're slowly but surely doing. We're making what is higher education more specific to the job environment today, and you can see what's happening with the Louisiana Technical College system now, in that it has expanded to a point to reach out and do the things that industry and business need in terms of educating our people. In addition, our university system is being more, in line and aligned with each other, where they're not as duplicative as they used to be. And so let's not forget about K through 12 education. There's a lot of improvement there. Let's not forget about early childhood education, because we think that is part of the answer as well.
But is there improvement, Mike? I mean, I've been covering this state since 1990, more or less, and the same issues, these same conversations, these same efforts, and I don't really feel like things have gotten that much better in
they
terms
have.
Of economic development, education, you know.
It's always easiest to point out the negatives, but yes, they have. In comparison to other states, we sometimes falter. We're tired of being last in so many categories, particularly the bad categories. And being first in the bad categories isn't what we want either. What we need to do is to have more people involved. And that's the thing, is just like when you have better schools, when you have parental involvement. And you know this with your own children. If you're involved with your own kids at their schools, it seems that there's a better performance level. And that's what we're talking about here, is having more people engaged with the process throughout the process.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer. And you said we're tired of being last. Maybe all the states are doing better, and so we're doing a little bit better, but relative to the others, we're still not doing that well. How do they do economic development in Texas and Mississippi? What is different about their tax code and their economic development strategies that, and certainly in the case of Texas, they're leaps and bounds ahead of us?
I think Texas is a good example. It's in Louisiana, it's a top-down thing. Everybody calls it the Huey Long syndrome, where you have to come to Baton Rouge to kiss the ring, and everything starts in Baton Rouge. In Texas, it's absolutely different. It's a bottom-up thing. The people at the local level have so much more control. They pay for things as well. The government in the state has the support system, but they're not wholly responsible for everything that goes on from the state down to the local level. The locals have so much more control is the key. And the way that they've set up their system and model, they have choices. They can choose whether they want to be totally in the game as far as economic development is concerned, or do they want to use more of their what we call resources towards bettering the community, bettering the school system, bettering their infrastructure or whatever, or a combination of all of those things. And I've seen it because I happen to work on an accreditation committee with the International Economic Development Council and work throughout the country. A lot of these accreditations occur in Texas with the economic development agencies there. And I get to see from the inside how they manage their system. And they're not all the same. There's a lot of similarities about what goes on between Oklahoma and Texas. But ours is totally different.
And I know best practices suggest that local control is always preferable, that that's, in theory, the best model. And yet, when I've written things like that, people have replied, well, certainly look at what East Baton Rouge Parish did with the Council on Aging tax or the CATS tax that, you know, produced a still-failing bus system. I mean, are we capable here in Louisiana of really managing our own tax dollars?
We have smart people in this state. And so let's not browbeat ourselves into oblivion here. We have smart people in the state. We have some people that are very talented. We need to have monitoring going on and that people know that public funds are being spent properly, that's for sure. And that's at every level. Look, Louisiana has a lot. We're not doing a very good job, have not done a very good job with how we spend our money. And so because we have such a level of poverty, and we do in this state, our income levels aren't as high as other states. Let's say Texas, it's not. Our cost of living is lower than Texas. If you look at Texas property taxes, it's enormous compared to Louisiana property taxes. Louisiana's tax burden for an individual is enormously lower than what you find in many and many other states, including Texas and Mississippi, if you want to compare the two neighboring states. Even the corporate income tax burden, the corporate burden of taxes is lower than other states. So do we need to increase our tax base? Yes, we do. We need to broaden it. We need to broaden it, but we need to bring the tax rate down. By broadening the tax rate and bringing it down, both for corporate and personal, we can affect some changes here that will be positive.
Well, I know that's what you all will be focusing on at C100 in the months to come. Hopefully, maybe we will see some movement in the legislative session next year. I know y'all will be working on that. Good luck, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll be back after the break with Metro Councilwoman Barbara Freiberg, who will talk about a search for an airport director and Mayor Sharon Weston-Broom's proposed roads. Good morning. Welcome back to Talk Louisiana. Jim Engster's off today. I'm Stephanie Regal sitting in. Ali Balthazar producing, and joining us for this half hour is Baton Rouge Metro Councilwoman Barbara Freiberg. It's been almost a year since Barbara was elected to the Metro Council. It's flown by. Barbara, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Stephanie. I'm just fine. Gosh, it's been about 8 months, huh?
It's hard to believe. Last year at this time, we were like in the middle of campaign season, and now here you are, huh?
Yes, we were.
Has it been everything you thought it would be and more?
You know, people ask me that question daily, and I say yes. The important thing to me when I ran was getting education and city government out of their silos and working more closely together. And from very, very small things to larger things like an advisory council with the mayor, with different education entities coming to fruition, I think we've really made some significant changes. So I'm excited about it, yeah.
Well, good. Well, we wanted to specifically talk this morning. Y'all have a big meeting tonight. It seems like all of the Metro Council meetings of late are big and often contentious and often drag on to the exceed the 4-hour time limit. But specifically, you have a resolution on the agenda to introduce a measure calling for a national search for a new airport director at the Baton Rouge Airport. And this is even just an introduction, so y'all aren't even going to vote on this tonight, but you were telling me the other day that you're not sure you even have enough votes to bring it back in 2 weeks for a vote. I mean, are you feeling a little more confident that your colleagues on the council will at least allow you to introduce this measure?
Yes, I feel that they'll allow me to introduce the measure. I don't know whether there will be the support to do a national search. I do feel that it's very important to the people of this community that a process be followed. I know that when Anthony left, Ralph was appointed interim, and that was, I think, last year about the time. And Trey Welsh suggested, since he is our representative on the Airport Commission, that we wait, that the council wait. At that time, I wasn't on the council, until the new council was elected to look for a permanent director. So this has been in limbo for about 8 months. And the truth of the matter is, when I was first elected, we're talking about it, but no one seemed to do anything. And I just felt it was time that we take a look at this.
297-5633 in the Baton Rouge area, or 1-877-217-5757 if you're outside the area and have a question for Barbara Freiberg. And so just to back up, for those who may be unfamiliar, Anthony Marino was the airport director for many, many years. He was with the airport for almost 40 years and was director for almost 30. And when he did retire, I think it became official, as you mentioned, in about January, the assistant aviation director, Ralph Hennessy, was appointed interim to fill his spot, and he has remained in that position ever since. And the governance of the airport is sort of curious because there is an airport commission, which is a board, but it's strictly advisory. And that board, Trey Welch, the Metro Council member, sits on, but they really have no power. The power rests with the Metro Council, which by law serves as the airport authority for East Baton Rouge Parish.
Correct. You're right. It is an interesting governmental structure, but we are the authority, and therefore I believe we should do our job. And I think part of our job is making sure we have the right person at the helm at the airport.
And of course, the issue with the Baton Rouge Airport, lovely airport, great facility, but not enough direct flights. And so I guess the question is, could a different director do more to attract more air service to Baton Rouge?
I don't think one single person can do that. I think and I'm not saying Ralph is not that person, but I think we need someone who has a plan of how we bring partners to the table. I know that New Orleans was very successful in getting international flights, but it wasn't just because they had a great director. They had a great director who worked with partners, such as their local chamber and their local foundations, to bring those flights to New Orleans. So I think it's going to take someone with the leadership ability to bring all these entities together to try to develop a plan to bring more direct flights to Baton Rouge, yes.
And I'm wondering if it's, you know, if it's possible. It's interesting, I've talked to Trey Welch about this.
Yes.
And, you know, he has said the airport is about so much more than commercial air service. And at first I thought
right.
he was joking. But, I mean, I think some people really do, I mean, legitimately see the airport as an economic development entity with a thriving business park and a lot of land that they're able to monetize. But, I mean, at heart, the airport should be about serving the people of Baton Rouge, should it not?
Well, that's my thought. Now, I do agree that there is a lot of property there, and there have been many ideas about ways pieces of that property could be developed. And again, that's where bringing partners to the table might help. And
whoops, Barbara, are you there? Whoops, I think we lost Metro Councilwoman Barbara Freiberg. She was telling us about a resolution that she has pending before the Metro Council later this afternoon to call for a national search for a new aviation director. Ralph Hennessy, who was the assistant airport director for many years under Ralph Anthony Marino, has been serving in an interim capacity for more than 8 months now. And Barbara's contention is that we need a national search to find out if, in fact, he is the best candidate for this position. But as Barbara was telling me last week, she's gotten a lot of pushback for this suggestion from people on the council who are big fans of Ralph and who say that he's done a good job. And Barbara has said that the issue is not so much that Ralph hasn't done a good job, but that the council and the city deserves a national search just to know whether there is someone out there who couldn't do perhaps a better job or who couldn't bring more fresh ideas to Baton Rouge, to the Baton Rouge Airport. You know, the airport is a regional airport. It's a lovely airport. It's won all sorts of awards for its design and its efficiency. But the bottom line is there just aren't a lot of direct flights there, and that number has dwindled over the years, and that's caused problems for economic development. It's been one of the reasons that some of the companies that were headquartered here have left. I think we have Barbara back on the line. Barbara, are you there with us?
Yes.
Good.
I am back on the line. I am so sorry.
That's okay. I was wondering how long I could tap dance without you, but I'm glad you're back. So, I mean, what's the deal with the support that Ralph seems to have? I mean, is this just politics? Why are people so reluctant to, and when I say people, I mean some of your colleagues on the council, why not open it up to a national search? And then if he's the best person for the job, so be it. But why not go through the process?
Well, that certainly is my thought. And that's what I believe.
Yeah.
There are many people that believe he's done an excellent job and that we probably couldn't get anyone any better. So I went to stay with Ralph, and I understand that. But I also, maybe because I'm new to the job here, I believe that there may be some great ideas out there and some people with some great ideas that could make a difference in our city.
And since you are on the Metro Council, by virtue of being on the Metro Council, a member of the Airport Authority, you know, how big of a problem is this in terms of economic development and attracting new companies here? We were visiting with Michael Olivier a little while ago. We talk about economic development, the need for jobs, the need to diversify the economy. But how do you get companies here when you don't have an easy way to get in and out of the city for their executives, you know?
Well, in doing some research on this issue, I have, you know, read and learned that there have been industry businesses that have wanted to come to Baton Rouge that have not come for that reason. So I believe that that is something we need to explore. And I don't have a long history with this, so I don't know how much that has affected whether people have come here or not,
mm-hmm.
but I certainly know that it has to some extent.
Right. And this is, I guess, what I want to ask you is how your council, you're, to me, one of the moderates on the council, fairly divided council between Republicans and Democrats,
yes.
black and white,
yes.
men and women. Where's the nucleus? Where's the power center there, really? And how do you all get along and get things done, or do you?
I don't know where the power center is. I believe the power center depends on what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, I respect very much Trey Welsh's opinions, and I know that he has a long history with this. And we agree to disagree, and that's what makes us a great democracy.
That, a lot of times I'll ask council members, you know, how many, you know, do you think you have the votes for this or you have the votes for that? And y'all will say, well, I haven't talked to my colleagues. Do you all talk outside of council meetings? I mean, are there ever, I know you can't violate
open meeting laws,
but, okay.
Yes, we do. You know, as a school board member, I always pretty much knew where everybody stood, but as a council member, I don't know where everyone stands. Even after I've talked to them, I'm not sure.
And sometimes they don't know where they stand, and sometimes they say where they stand, and then they change their minds at the last minute. Well,
right.
I know y'all have another.
You need to take a break.
I know y'all have another big issue coming up at the meeting tonight. Mayor Sharon Weston-Broome's proposed roads tax. So I want to visit with you about that right after the break. So stay right there. We'll be back on Talk Louisiana. Welcome back to Talk Louisiana. I'm Stephanie Regal in for Jim Engster, visiting this half hour with Metro Councilwoman Barbara Freiberg, telling us about some of the big issues on tonight's agenda at the council meeting. 297-5633 if you'd like to ask Barbara a question, or if you're outside the Baton Rouge area, 877-217-5757. So, Barbara, bigger even than your airport director issue, which I think is very interesting, is the decision whether to put Mayor Sharon Weston-Broome's proposed $5 million property tax to fund road and infrastructure and traffic control projects on a ballot in November. And this has been controversial, but we also know it's badly needed. It's a 20-year millage that would generate some $445.5 million. That's a hefty chunk of the total $540 million plan that the mayor has introduced, with 43 items in it, all sorts of projects across the metro area. Very similar in many ways to former Mayor Kip Holden's Green Light 2 plan, which was defeated last year at the ballot, in the polls. Where are you on this, and what are you hearing from the constituents in your district?
I am very much in favor and will vote to place this on the ballot in the fall, because I do believe the people of this community deserve the opportunity to vote on this issue. I believe that my district is somewhat mixed. I think there are people who are tired of paying property taxes. There are actually people who believe that people who do not pay property taxes shouldn't be able to vote, and only those who do should, and then maybe we wouldn't have so many property taxes. But I believe it's very important to the city, and I think it's very important to you, Stephanie, who are constituent in my district, that you be able to make a decision on this.
No.
That 11, that 12 people don't decide for you whether or not you can make a decision. And I think what makes this so different from Greenlight 2, although I voted for Greenlight 2 and very much supported it, is this advanced traffic management system, the $40 million that will be spent to upgrade about 400 signals and to give real-time traffic management throughout the city so that light synchronization and so forth can take place. And traffic should flow more swiftly and efficiently with that. And I think that is a very significant piece. I know Crisis and some of the other groups that have worked with transportation have asked for this data system that could help us regulate the traffic. So I think that's a very significant part of the new plan.
Right, and that was not in Greenlight 2, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I was visiting with the Crisis Director, Scott Kirkpatrick, about that yesterday, and he said, you know, Crisis's decision whether to support this and help lobby for it will hinge on some data that they're waiting on from the administration to show just how effective that traffic control system will be. And I guess that's the question. Jim in Walker has a question. Jim, you're on the line with Metro Councilwoman Barbara Freiberg. Good morning.
Hello,
good morning.
Ladies. How are you doing today? I have a question for you. Our previous mayor had put in some electric vehicle charging stations downtown that were designated for EVs only, and we have a problem with those, and that is the fact that, for instance, there's two right behind the Manship Theater, and I have never once been able to park there because non-electric vehicles take the spots, and the city refuses to have them towed. Although y'all will tow people that park in the Zipcar parking spot.
Oh, dear.
I'm familiar with those stations. I'm not sure about the towing, and I have
there's
seen
no
vehicles
There's really no enforcement. The police are incredibly reluctant to enforce. Some of them don't believe that it's necessary, and some do, but nothing is done to actually remove them. And so there's just, I can't park in them. They're there, but I can't use them.
Wow.
I have seen tickets on those cars, but I have not seen any towed. I will be happy to talk to our police chief about that issue.
Where exactly is this downtown, Jim?
There's one right in front of City Hall above the side of the courthouse.
Okay.
Behind the Manship Theater, and that may be what he's referring to. But there are many of these stations throughout the downtown area. I know there's one over near the Capitol House. But these are generally two places together that are marked with green meters, and they are for electric cars.
Well, and downtown parking is a whole separate
issue.
You know, I mean, it's a
that's
whole separate
show,
issue. Animal unto itself, and we need to have a discussion another day about that. And I think there have been good solutions, and some of them have been implemented, some of them haven't, some of them have been partially implemented, some of them have been implemented but then not enforced, as Jim brought up. So, but you don't pass that on to Tara Wicker, but y'all get on that one too, Barbara.
Okay.
And look into that. But when we look more at the metro area as a whole, or the parish as a whole, you know, and certainly traffic control issues, you know, how do you convince people that the money, you know, if they do approve this tax, will be well spent? Because, I mean, I think voter cynicism is where so much of the problem comes in here.
I agree with you 100%. There has to be accountability and there has to be oversight. In the interview with Mike, I just caught the last part of it right before I called in. You asked that same question, and I think he said we have smart, talented people in this state who know how to do the job right. And I feel the same way about our city. We have some very smart, talented people who will give this project oversight. This is our community saying we need to make a difference in mobility in this and transportation in this city. This is not about the mayor. This is about a transportation package that she personally will be in charge of, but there will be engineers and experts who will give this project oversight. So I feel very comfortable that the projects that are listed will get done in the correct way.
Ray in Prairieville is on the line with a question. Ray, good morning. You're on with Councilwoman Barbara Freiberg.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just two quick ones with Councilwoman Barbara Freiberg. First, what is going to be the cost of the search for airport director? And the second one, by the way, I thank her for supporting the idea of a 5-mil tax to improve traffic in Baton Rouge. Traffic in Baton Rouge is terrible. But that has to be tied in with some kind of a push to the legislature to get the state to do something about the interstates and the primary highways. I'll take your answer off the air, by the way. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you, Ray, and that's a good point. But, Barbara, to take his airport question first. Do we have a price on or a cost on a national search?
We have not even started that process. I do know that there are some monies, I believe, in the airport budget that could be used for this. This wouldn't come out of our city parish budget, but out of the airport budget. And I am confident that there are funds there that would pay for this search. But that would be something that we would address once we have decided we're going to do this search, if and when we decide to do that. I will go back to his other question. I think we were all, many of us were disappointed that the state gas tax failed in the legislature because that could have made a real difference. And a lot of people come to me and they say, well, let's have a gas tax. Let's not have a property tax. I believe, if I'm correct, that that can only be done at the state level, that an individual parish can't set a gas tax. So we depend on the state to do that. And the state failed this time to do that, and so now we are left as an individual district to decide what we want to do to improve the roads in our community.
And, I mean, really, when you look at the long-term implications of that, it's chilling because it will be years before any long-term systemic solution, although you hear talk about a toll bridge across the river.
Yes.
But where does the seed money for that come from? You know, that's the question.
And that's what, you know, people say to me, well, why would we be putting this tax on the ballot this fall? Because we just got voted down last year. I'm one of those, Stephanie, who's lived in this city all my life, and I am a lot older than you. So I know how long we've talked about a bridge. I know how long we've talked about infrastructure improvements. I know how long we've talked about bike paths and sidewalks and lighting. And to me, it should have been done years ago.
All right. Well, Metro Councilwoman Barbara Freiberg, thank you so much. Lots on the agenda for the council meeting tonight. As always, we will be watching and paying attention. Thank you for joining us this morning on Talk Louisiana. Great show with Mike Olivier and Barbara Freiberg. Jim will be back tomorrow. Have a good day.
WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast. For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.